Can we do this? Okay. So, should we? I guess maybe you can introduce yourselves, folks at home.
He is Hans-Joachim Volterius.
And he is Sita Möbius. We are happy to be in Los Angeles. Oh. Or Zit.
I'm Michael. Okay, so I thought the question is, at least when I was putting questions together, is do you ask the icebreaker first or last or something? So this is my first question. Is the phrase krautrock, which you guys are grouped under,
hate it.
Is it offensive? Okay, you hate it.
It's not offensive. It doesn't fit.
I mean, doesn't fit at all.
We are not a rock group, and we are krauts, if you want. But
we eat sauerkraut.
And
I like it.
What does it mean to you guys? I mean, you were born at the same time as that movement and are grouped under it.
Born what?
I mean, the cluster as a group was born at the same time as krautrock. So I'm kind of wondering what is it? What is krautrock to you guys?
I don't know.
I know groups that where it would fit, like for example, Goo Goo, or like German groups that make rock in this time. Special kind of rock, and we made electronic experimental music at this time, much more than now, so we never made krautrock. Rock.
Okay.
It's not easy to divide from, we are subsumized under this category, of course, because we are belonging to the same scene.
Yes,
but we never felt that we are krautrockers.
It's okay for us if we are krautrockers. We are not going to fight against it.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, it's a phrase that was invented by some journalist to, you know.
Must be one of the UK.
Probably English.
Yeah,
yeah, right. So when you started, what year was the first record?
1970,
I guess.
Sorry. And just some months afterwards, Cluster 2, second with K, and then.
But in fact, both of them we produced in one night, or one day or something like that.
Once
only the one was published 1 year before the other one.
And what kind of preparations did you make beforehand? Did you each come in with just with sounds or with melodies? Well,
just with sounds.
Only sound. In the beginning, couldn't be.
We couldn't even make melodies.
We couldn't make melodies at all because we were no musicians. He was a graphic designer and I was a masseur. So nobody could read or write scores and understand what music is in a way.
So,
but we had a musical education and listened a lot to music, and so we were not just how do you say, we knew about music, let's say that way.
And the sounds that you came into the studio with, where did they come from? What were they made out of? Or from?
Machinery, simple machinery, self-made little funny instruments, some machines which did some very nice noises made by friends of us. And we had both an organ, he played the violin, the knee violin. I played the cello. We didn't play it, we just used it to make sounds with it and picked it up and treated it with echo machines and equalizing it and tremoloing it, effect machines anyway, and that was it. The first records were made with Schnitzler, and we were three people. Schnitzler used a cello as well.
At that time I was playing kind of drum set that you use in orchestras with this big round drums. That we could change the sound with putting air in it, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And Conny Schnitzler would have a guitar and a fork and a big echo machine, and he would go with his fork in the echo machine and treat it like if you would hate it. Achim had a cello and things like that. It was totally different. But it made a lot of noise.
So, and then was the tape just rolling on those first couple of records? Mm-hmm. Did you just let the tape roll and then and then you would go in and clip it and edit it?
Not really editing.
But it was already Conny Planck.
It was already the sounding. Okay. He already added some of his studio technique to it, which we appreciated very much because we didn't know about his abilities, about the facilities.
That's how we got to know him. He was an employee in a studio. He was not a freelance, or he didn't have his own studio at this time. He was working in a studio. That's how we got to know him.
And did he play anything, make any
sound? In a way, he played already this
mixing
table. Mixing table and equalizer.
He never really. Sometimes he played, like for example, guitar or something, but mostly he worked on the mixing console and
the studio as tool. Mm-hmm. His tool was the studio.
And when rhythms started to come in and beats into your work, where did they come from? Was it the rhythm of the machine?
Of the machine. Yeah. Uh-huh. The first was a drum. It was called Drama One.
The first. But machine. Also a lot of rhythm came made by hand, and also echo machine.
Loops.
We had an echo machine. A friend of us changed the system so we could stop the erasing head. Mm-hmm. So it was a loop going.
Yeah, a sequence.
The echo loop. And that was an invention. It was really great.
Was that something like the Echoplex, which was being used?
That was later. We had the first. It was called Echolette.
It was a German.
Dynamo. Dynacord.
It was really geared for folk music, or not for rock music, really.
And what is two questions? What is the role of collaboration in when you're making music, and how does it sort of break down? And I guess it's a big set of questions. I'm wondering how collaboration, you guys collaborate, and how that's changed from then to now.
Very good question, because it was without collaboration, nothing would have happened. It was the basis of our work was to collaborate, not to do some solo stuff in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So because we weren't musicians, we had to learn about what we wanted to do. We had to learn about our own language, our own, how we could express what we really wanted to express. So machinery we didn't know, so non-playing. We were non-musicians. We really had to learn it. Practically, which was a good way to approach music, a new way to approach music, I think.
And and why did you, at that period, and increasingly, why did you choose machines over organic? I mean, you started off with cellos and organic instruments, but did that dissipated?
The machines are working for us.
Presets and all these things, yes, of course. Organs are presets material. You just treated it with equalizing. Equalizing is working with effect machines. Mm. We didn't know much about music. We really had to find out what we liked to do. And
it also was a question of money, for example.
Yeah.
At this time, anyway, the few synthesizers you could get were extremely expensive. So we were poor little boys.
Yes, we were so poor. We really had to do it, and we liked to do it, of course. We experimented with radio frequencies and everything. In the beginning. Don't laugh about that.
And
can you add something to our history, please?
What about Brian?
You are a witness from the first moment.
What about Brian? What was
I'm getting that.
What was it like to work with Brian?
Wait, let me ask the broader philosophical question that leads to the Eno question, right? Which is, right? Collaboration to Eno. Man, it took me an hour to drive here. I was writing like on the steering wheel. Okay, so because it goes from cluster to
cluster,
Planck.
First, from
cluster to cluster.
First,
but then there's all these
there
other.
Was, before there was something, before we met, we had the Zodiac Club in Berlin, and we experimented with different. It was a different group of eight people. Doing some sort of electronic music as well. Before we met Schnitzler, and Schnitzler and we together founded Cluster, there was a real basic, the nucleus of the Berlin kind of electronic music was Human Being, which was...
We were going to make a publicity for his...
Yeah, I have to make a publicity because
there's
a recording coming out soon via Nepenthe. Huh? The first and the only concert we ever recorded in this club is coming out now as a document of which fits into the which changes the chronology of the history of Berlin kind of electronic music, because we started much earlier than Tangerine Dream started to do electronic music.
Huh. So what year was this?
It was 68.
Much earlier, 1 year.
So,
that's a lot.
So how did the... I mean, from my, you know, just as a record freak and music lover, like, my knowledge of you guys is... Or my vision, I guess, is like... I mean, the family tree. So, because it's Connie Plank, and then it's the guys from
it's
sort of spread out.
First is Konrad Schnitzler. Connie Plank. Yeah.
And then Planck, but then it's Michael
Roeder.
He's
a guy. He brought Tangerine Dream together. He invented. He was a sort of art scout. He brought people together. He brought me together with Möbius, because he knew when he saw Möbius, he said he is a percussionist. He has to be. He is the drum.
Yeah. And I said, yes, of course, I'm a percussionist.
Yeah. It also started with Schnitzler.
Schnitzler was the first. A lab pupil of boys.
Of Josef Beuys. Fluxus, the movement. The Fluxus movement started with Beuys and this Norman Peck and all these guys.
And Beuys said everybody can be an artist. So Schnitzler said everybody can be an artist. He learned it from his teacher.
And we learned it from Schnitzler, and now we are here, and Schnitzler is there, and Connie Plank is not here anymore.
Well, it's certainly, I mean, it's parallel with, I mean, Warhol, of course, and Velvet Underground. Yeah, because that's Warhol's thing, is finding talent or people who could be, you know. Yeah. So, and also using, I mean, their approach to music. So, and the viola instead of the cello, maybe.
Right.
So, I'm using it as a rhythm. So, and then of course, you collaborate with members of Noi.
It's Michael
Can I ask the Eno question, or are you just who got a hold of who? How did it, you know, where did he come from, and how did you come together?
We played Harmonia played in Hamburg, and Brian was on the show, and he asked us to join us for the second part of the concert. And so we got to know each other. I knew him already because I was a big Roxy Music fan of the first records. So I was astonished to see him because on the covers he looked quite different.
Mm-hmm.
And he was such a normal, nice man. Didn't fit together with his image of Roxy Music.
Mm-hmm. And how does his, I mean, I guess his ambient, I mean, is his ambient music, is that electronic music? Is it coming from the same philosophy? Or did you think so then?
It's up to the listener to decide what it is.
Not really, because his ambient, some of his ambient records, I know he just turned around, made it go backwards, mm-hmm. and slowed down, so the record was finished, but no electronic procedure.
After you guys played, I played Swastika Girls off No Pussyfooting, the Eno Fripp track.
Yes.
And that, to my ears anyway, it's very electronic.
Yes.
It's very similar.
Yes, I like that very much with Fripp.
And that's 70s, 71. Similar time. I guess, I mean, if we're going to talk about Eno and talk about that period, then I wanted to ask you guys about Sky, the Sky label that put out the... what you label it, but it's the late 70s and early 80s work. Who did that label?
He's still there, Günter Körber from Sky. He's still working.
We got to know him before he was the label manager of
Metronome. Yeah.
And then he got to make his own label, but he was just I think he didn't know anything about music. He just jumped on the train, or German, different way of saying that. He knew that something was happening. He knew these groups from the company he was working for before.
Gracias.
And he gave them all a chance. And thank you for giving me some wine.
Sorry, Peter. Yeah.
Oh, it's good. It's delicious. The wine is very good.
Oh, great. Yes, and he's a manager, a businessman, but not thinking in big things. He was always on the ground and very serious. And he always paid us what we deserved, yes. And we still get money from him.
He's taking care for real releases. There's a big.
He's not producing anything
anymore.
Our
catalog is. Came just recently out in Japan, and even here in America.
Yeah, I just saw those at the CD
reissue. The beard. I just got a record.
Goodbye.
Oh, no, I don't have it here.
That was a great show.
Would he pay for the recordings, or how? What was the? Or studio time, or it was still you guys?
No, the guys had to take care how they record, and in a way he cheated us also, because when we signed contracts he didn't tell us that we should take care that it's only for 4 years or something. He has it for his whole life, you know, all
and
the
he
stuff.
Can sell it.
And
universe. Forever.
Yes. Of course, we were too stupid to know about that.
He can tell you where some records of the Sky Catalog came out in San Francisco. It's a label called Beard. Beard. Something like Beard.
Yeah. And the Sky label and the stuff that you were recording during that period is, I mean, obviously then the punk movement is happening, and punk and post-punk in the UK and around, and how are you guys into that stuff? Mm-hmm. All right. Were you into the punk
post-punk
stuff?
Yes, yes.
I mean, I knew the answer just from hearing the records, of course. But.
I was very much in punk. I was a big Velvet Underground fan before. For example, lots of other people as well. But I was a fan of punk music, and I never listened to the kind of music I make myself. I'm always listening to other kind of music. When my record is finished, it's done, and I listen to it when I'm doing it. And I listen to all kind of other stuff.
I love to listen to my music, but only accidental. I don't put it on my table. I just, when it happens, I like it.
Like when someone else plays.
Yeah, for example, when I used to show it to my family, what I'm doing, old stuff, and I said, oh, it was not so bad.
Well, I mean, what you were saying when we first started talking about your approach to it, I mean, amateurism, not having money, and, you know, putting it together, I mean, that's the punk aesthetic, and
yes.
It's not, I mean, you guys already said you're not crowd rockers, but I mean,
that
stuff
then.
Is not, well, yeah.
You're still punk then.
But that philosophy is not, I don't think, usually equated with crowd rock. It's more, I mean, it's improvised, but it's not, I don't know, it's, so what you're...
That's the very difficult question that I always don't know what to answer if somebody asks me, what kind of music are you making? Mm. When I say, I'm making electronic music, I feel bad about it because I don't feel like making electronic music. Electronic music, it's also Stockhausen, now I don't know who. And I don't want to be Stockhausen, by example. And but what is it, what we are doing? I don't know.
Idea. It's art. It's just art. We don't have to care about what it is.
We care about when somebody asks what kind of music are you make.
Speaking of art, I wanted to ask you what are the aesthetics, or what is the aesthetic sense of Cluster? Obviously, that's covering a span of years, but.
Aesthetic.
You're just like you're just people who like to live and to appreciate living and then having whatever family. Me, I have my family. My
is this answering my work, the question?
My work. It's there's no split in between what I'm doing privately or professionally in my profession. I think it's rather simple. Living, appreciating life, because it's so beautiful to be on earth and to to have all this good food and wine and nice women. Yes, you know, I think.
And as far as the, I guess what I wanted to know about is the music and the sleeves, or the visual, I guess that sense, like how is the aesthetic of the music and the aesthetic of the artwork?
That's him. He's very
sleeve maker.
Deeply.
Yeah.
Yes.
You did all the sleeves?
Mostly. Yeah.
The bad sleeves I did.
And what?
That's not true.
How would you? Can you classify your visual aesthetic of the?
No, I can't
artwork?
Classify that. It does not really. A lot to do with the interior, the music. It's just an aesthetic kind of presenting the music. Since I'm part of the music, perhaps it's inside, but I don't know about that.
We don't care much about that. We don't care much about what people possibly think about what they are doing. Why? Yeah,
really,
we have to do it.
It's our destiny.
So, yes, boy.
And your when you first came together, you would come with sounds. How has that changed now when the machines are digital? The sound makers are virtual?
In a way, it makes it easier, but also
more difficult.
But I think we really didn't change the music by that. It's the piano is a piano.
I recognize some sounds tonight that you used from. Well, actually, a couple things I think I've heard on Strange Music and some of your earlier records. And I was wondering if you sampled your own sounds or some of the bird.
Definitely nothing from Strange Music.
Not him. I shamelessly recycle everything, every bit of it. Always. But why not?
Yes, of
course. We are the originators. We can do it. Nobody can tell us who's stealing. I can steal my own stuff, of course. I'm doing it.
Yeah. That's why they invented the word sampling. Just get do away with the word stealing.
I did it from the beginning. When we started in the Zodiac, I did it already. I used tapes and everything. Because there was nothing else to do.
I've had a bunch of questions. Just I'm curious about the analog versus digital, and now versus that. I'm like an analog, but old school. Like I only play records, I don't play CDs, and I'm curious if you've heard the reissues that have come out with like of the first two Clefster records. Like, have you heard those? They came out on vinyl.
The first ones, that's why by Universal.
Yeah, yeah. How does it sound to your ears compared to the first, the actual recording at the time?
I didn't care. I don't have a Tony disc. I can't listen to vinyl anymore. I don't have a turntable.
Oh, yeah.
So I have one,
but I didn't compare it.
Do you find some difference between the original?
You know, we have such crummy stereos that we don't even feel or hear the difference between a CD and a vinyl.
To me, the low end sounds different.
Yes.
Yeah. So, some of the sounds.
You have perhaps such a good stereo. If you would see how I work to record my record, my new things, you would say he must be crazy. I'm doing it with a little Sony compact, but I have earphones.
Yeah.
They are quite good. But mostly I hear it with this little compact, and it's okay for me. And when I hear it done with my earphones, it's no difference. It's okay.
So what are the records you're working on right now? Is there going
to
be a new?
We are going to work in November, and then go to the album in Ohio with our friend Tim Stone.
He's producing a new cluster if it works out.
Mm.
I just finished a new one solo. Achim surely as well, because he finished one every month.
Yeah. Have you guys done any soundtrack work? My girlfriend asked me that. Have you guys done a movie?
Nobody asked us. I did some film music three or four films. One film about John Lennon. It's called Imagine, Imagine. I worked with three other guys on the soundtrack, but it's not very much. I would like to. Mm-hmm.
I made a soundtrack for a film, a real shit film, low budget, and there's even a record out of this film music. but I think it's not really fun to make soundtracks, music for films, because the director tells you how to do it, the producer tells you that doesn't like that, and so on and so on, and at the end it's not your music anymore.
What I've always wanted to say is our music is soundtrack.
It is without the film.
From the beginning. So filmers should take care of it and make films out of the music, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Yes, right, in a way.
When she asked me that question, I mean, I totally understood, because that is what it sounds like. So, but I wondered too.
A lot of it.
Yeah. But obviously, it's different when someone's giving you visuals and you have to then make a sound for it, as opposed to the opposite. So, I'll wind it down since it's getting late. What brought this? How this tour come together? When was the last time you played live together?
Last time we played live together was in Chicago.
And therefore in New York, no, in Baltimore, and therefore in New York, and then
before
in Detroit, and then in Rome, no, in England, and then in Rome.
But here it's been a long time, right,
yeah,
since you've been away.
Yes, 96. We made a tour of 3 months with Tommy, which is not stopping his cell phone.
Tour guide.
No, he was his... He was the main act.
And maybe this can be the last question. When you're playing live, and when you play the older songs or the material off earlier records, are you replaying?
No, you don't do anything. No, in general, no. Not yet. Perhaps you do. Perhaps.
No.
Could happen.
You would have to rehearse.
That's why I was wondering if it would go against the art of it, and also if it is playing the song, or if it's somehow like you remaking it or covering your own track.
No,
especially if, you know.
That's a problem. We have a problem with harmonia, because we're playing harmonia as well again.
Mm.
And people ask exactly for that old stuff. And I can't do it. I can't enjoy myself in working with him and Michael Walker together. I don't know why. Perhaps because I'm predestined to open every month another door.
No, it's not like fun. It's just not fun to always play the same stuff.
No, it's not fun to revitalize something which has had its time at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the problem. To do it again doesn't make sense, really, in respect to the art.
Right.
We have to devote ourselves, I think.
Okay.
Is that okay for you?
Yeah, that's great. I've often thought that my personal vision of hell would be being Mike Love and having to sing California Girls for the rest of my life. So I can. I think that's good. That's great, you guys.
Thank you.
Now we have to do it again because the camera was not on.
Oh yeah, turn the sound on. Good. Thanks, guys, very much.
Thank you for being interested in us and our history.